Let's read a verse together. And that would be the first scripture in lesson 20, and that's 1 Timothy 3:9. 1 Timothy 3:9. This is in the section of the qualification of a deacon, which follows the section on the qualification of an overseer. But they, as we have mentioned before, they align, and in fact, they more than overlap. What qualifies one would qualify the other. So let's read verse 9. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Let's read it again. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. So here we have, brothers, that as one of the required characteristic of an approved deacon, a serving a brother in the church, in a local church, is that he must hold. Now, hold is more than just something casual, something easy. It's grasping something. It is putting something in your hands in a very secured way. Hold the mystery of the faith. So we have here the mystery of the faith, this term. We're going to use this term today in this lesson to apply to the matter of our vision of the Lord's recovery. So you may, let's say, just for this morning, for our purpose, holding the vision of the Lord's recovery. You may say that for our present use, because the mystery of the faith. And the faith here does not refer to the subjective faith. The faith here refers to the objective faith. In other words, these are the things, the content, the things that we believe in and the contents of our belief. The things that constitute the gospel of God. The things that constitute, you may say, the apostles' teaching. This mystery of the faith is, in fact, the very vision that we should have as a deacon, and especially as an overseer, a leading brother. If you don't hold on to this tightly, strongly, In other words, if you're not governed by it, if you're not controlled, I say even dictated by it, then you are not qualified, really, to serve. Now, you hold on to this in a pure conscience, which means we hold on to this in an unmixed way, in a pure way, with a purified conscience, meaning there is no ulterior motive, there's no agenda, there's nothing for any kind of self-gain. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And brothers, I thank the Lord in the history of the Lord's recovery among us in these 90 years or more now, There is a line of brothers and even sisters that have held, that have done that, according to what they saw at that time. And I mentioned that today, to use the tech speak, we have a version 9.0. Some of them were there at the time of the 2.0 or 4.0 in the earlier times in the Lord's recovery in China, in Taiwan, in this country, and elsewhere. There it was a line of faithful men and women, brothers and sisters, who were clear about this vision, and they held on to it. Let me tell you, it's that that kept the Lord's recovery to this day. It's not just Brother Nee, Brother Lee. Of course, they were instrumental in the safekeeping, the safeguarding of the Lord's recovery. There's no doubt about that. And there were distraction, there were deviation, there were veering off over time. There were. And this ministry preserved or saved the Lord's recovery. But it is not just them. In every time of a turmoil, of a deviation, there were always some that were governed by that vision and preserved. I like to refer you to, actually now, I don't have the book in front of me like the last session, but maybe Don can help later on and we can send an email out to you. There were a few talks or short conferences given by Brother Lee, what time? In the early 90s. Now, what were those talks? Those were talks specifically given to the leading co-workers and leading brothers, elders, who were visiting this country for semi-annuals and other occasions, or iteros and things like that. And Brother Lee would have audience with them and would give them talks. Sometimes there's a larger number. It became a bit of a conference. And these were all recorded and put into books. And I have to go back to find them. There were just like three, I remember especially three or so, given to these brothers from Taiwan, Hong Kong, Malaysia, and probably some other parts of Southeast Asia. This is the early 90s. And I consider those speaking to be vital for the co-workers, and also for the leading brothers, because in them, Brother Lee stressed the governing vision. That's the term, the governing vision. And so this is what this lesson is about, the governing vision. All right, we'll find those titles, and we will give it to you. Brothers, it's good to not spend so much time on the internet, where after that you just get tired and you get defiled. Am I right? Why don't you spend some time to read these wonderful books and ministry? Why don't you do that? That we have time. We just wasted them on this unproductive and I say defiling things. So just. Redeem the time to read. Over in Champaign, the theme is God's H Turners. And a brother said something quite funny. He said, to be an H Turner, you have to be a page turner. I love that. You know, he was, of course, talking about you need to be in the Bible. You need to, you know, get into the ministry, that kind, to these young people. I agree with that. I think that's very apt. Be a page turner so you can be an age turner. Don't spend the time to swipe and whatever. Turn the page. Turn the page and read more. And one time even is not enough. And also you cannot read it in a kind of a easy way. You have to read it with prayer. Okay, let's now come to this lesson. Very important lesson. Central to this training, is to, an elder must have a clear vision of what is the Lord's recovery. The elders need a fresh vision of the Lord's recovery. Now, here's a good point. Not just clear, but fresh. You may have a vision, but it has dimmed. It had waned. It had blurred. Or it has become a bit out of date or old. You need to upgrade your version, your software version, to 9.0. I mean that. Some older brothers, very dear brothers, sorry, they are a little bit out of date. This time in Champaign, because I was hanging out with these young people, I finally got introduced to Snapchat. So I downloaded Snapchat. So I'm on Snapchat. And I was told this post-millennial generation, they don't even know what email is anymore. I mean, I live on email, you know, just like so many of you. They don't know what is email. It's Snapchat. You know, they show up in so many seconds, it disappear or whatever it is. And it's pictures, it's... Anyway, I don't know what... Okay, fresh vision. Are you still emailing? Or are you Snapchatting the Lord's recovery? You can get old. You can just become... The recovery is just old hat. The recovery is just stale to you. It's not fresh. In the early 90s, Brother Lee gave an up-to-date version of this vision. You better get there. Okay. A, there is the need for the elders to renew their vision of the Lord's recovery. Older brothers especially, renew the vision. And I don't mean just go around singing, we are for the Lord's recovery, we are for the Lord's recovery. What is it? Vision is so clear. Exercise the spirit. That's old. That's an old song from old era. No matter how many times you sing it, you will not be refreshed. You'll get a little stirred up. Your blood will get boiling a little bit, but that's about it. You don't have a vision. You don't have a vision. You need an upgraded vision, upgraded version of a vision of the Lord's recovery. Okay, to have the vision refreshed and made clear. Otherwise, as the years go by, we may gradually lose our vision and begin to go on in a routine way. Even what we have here is still not the most up-to-date in this outline. I'll tell you that. Even this outline is not the most up-to-date. You may say, I'm too much. I'm not too much. Okay, so that's why I'll give you some references to read. Okay. Many churches have become routine because the leading brothers have become routine. Their vision has kind of drooped and not fresh. They're not at the spearhead, the forefront of the Lord's move. They have fallen behind. Brothers, we need this refreshment. One, in order to have a clear view of the Lord's recovery, we must understand the terms, the mystery of the faith, the verse we just read, and some of these other phrases from Titus, the faith of God's chosen ones, the full knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness, the hope of eternal life, etc. And don't forget, there's actually one phrase very important, the teaching of the apostles. It's all buried there. It's all there in Titus chapter 1. Let me read. Holding to the faithful word, which is according to the teaching of the apostles, that he may be able both to exhort by the healthy teaching and to convict those who oppose, etc. This is in, you know, Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Okay. All right. If we review the details of these great items of our vision of the Lord's recovery, our vision of the Lord's recovery will be refreshed. 3, as elders, we need to fellowship with one another and contact the Lord in prayer. Now, please, brothers, don't just read this line. How about we do it? How about we go back and do it? Fellowship with one another. Don't just talk about all the time just some, you know, these outward things of the church life. It's okay. I mean, we need to talk about practical things. But we spend way too much time on those things, neglecting the essential. Fellowship with one another and contact the Lord in prayer concerning the vision of the Lord's recovery in order to fully realize what the Lord is doing among us. Do you know what the Lord is doing among us? What? What is the Lord doing among us? You may be able to toss out a few phrases or things that even you don't quite know what it means. You really don't know what the Lord is doing among us. I like to ask those brothers in China, what is the Lord doing in China now? I want to ask that question. Your answer will betray your vision, will tell me where you are. There are many ways to answer that question. A little child asks the same one question. An older man asks the same question will answer differently, depending on their experience and their knowledge. Well, brothers, what is the Lord doing? Okay, we need to pray that we may see a vision of the Lord's recovery in a fresh way. The Lord's recovery, listen to this, requires our full effort. It should be our cause. That's Brother Lee's word. What's the point? The point is, if you see the Lord's recovery and then the church life in the Lord's recovery, the move of the Lord in his recovery, to be, well, just a more spiritual work in Christianity, just another piece of Christian, a little bit more advanced, you know, in truth and something. We're here just to get some people saved and send them to heaven. We're just here to, help them to live a good life and be a good Christian and all of this. You all know what I'm saying. That is really more less that is version minus 5, you know. But even with us, we can say something of the recovery. But really, your understanding is not up to standard. Not up to standard. You say, we're here to preach the gospel. I agree with you. The recovery preaches the gospel. I totally agree. I'm very burdened for this. I think the Lord's move in Northern Cal has a lot to do with that. But what do you mean by that? What's your knowledge of preaching the gospel? What's your scope of understanding of preaching the gospel? Why are we preaching the gospel? And what kind of gospel are we preaching? What is the goal of that commission in Matthew 28? That's what I want to know. You see? Is not so, cannot be so superficial. Now, when you understand the Lord's recovery to that degree. Your vision, your sky is open to that degree. I will tell you, brothers, this recovery will really become your cause. It will not be something ordinary. You know, it will be your cause. It will be your passion. It will be your lifelong dedication. It will be your top priority. Today, the eldership to some brothers is not top priority. It's one among many things they do. They do a job, they do this, they do that. And the church, yeah, that's a pretty good investment. I'll do that too. Just to cover my bases, you know what I mean? Brothers, that means your vision is low. The church is not your cause. The recovery is not worth your full effort. It depends. It all depends on the vision. In the Silicon Valley, startup galore, they all are here to change the world. Am I right? With that little app or I don't know what. And they are altogether passionate about that because they believe in that vision. Well, what do we believe in? What's our cause? Sorry, I really have seen some brothers taking care of churches in a nonchalant way. Just very easygoing, just, I don't mean it's bad, but I don't sense the cause. I don't sense the fire. I don't sense that kind of investment that they once did. They had many years ago. At that time, the fire was burning in their belly. You know what I mean? The Lord's recovery is not just a song they sing. They're ready to gladly to spill blood and tears for the Lord's recovery. Now it's good. I'm still here. Still going on quite well. And they take the church like that. The church is, oh, it's a good thing. We're not dead yet, you know. We're still standing vertical, you know. Praise the Lord. We're still doing some morning revival here. We're doing some group meetings there. Am I here trying to downplay those things? No, no, no. But that burden, that cause, brothers. Okay. Now we come to the content of this vision. The content. What is this vision? Now some of us, when I ask the question, what is the Lord's recovery? You may not answer this way. You may not answer this way. Look at this. Of course, Brother Lee, dear Brother Lee, he had many angles and many answers to that question of the Lord's recovery, right? We typically say the Lord's recovery is to recover Christ to be our life and everything. And number two, to recover the church as his expression, his corporate expression and testimony. And then the one other item would be the recovery of the functioning of all the saints in the priesthood to build up the body. And that is right. That is right. But let's look at it today here, right? The first aspect of this vision of the Lord's recovery include all the items from the eternal purpose of God to the establishment of the local churches. From the beginning to the end, you may say. Everything is included in the Lord's recovery's vision. Okay, A, the eternal purpose of God. No time. No time. God's eternal purpose. You have to have a vision of God's purpose. No, today's Christians, hardly one know even that God has a purpose. No need to say what that purpose is. They don't even know God is purposeful. This purpose is what arrested us. Am I right? What seized us and keep us here. Why else are we here? But what is that purpose? Of course, it has everything to do with Christ and the church. Okay, we don't have time. Okay, B, why God is triune and why he created the universe. And brothers, Trinity. Brotherly, because, partly because of the opposition from without, attack upon us since the late 70s, dove into the matter of Trinity as he never had in his ministry. And I tell you, what came out was spectacular. Spectacular. You go back to Brother Lee's ministry in those late 70s and early 80s when he was fighting the battle. And through that fight, the visions and revelations of the divine Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, with the view of God's economy, was just opened up. Like a torrent of light came forth. Do you know the Holy Trinity has everything to do with God's economy? Which economy is needed to work out his purpose? God is triune to work out his economy, to fulfill his purpose. God is not triune just to be triune randomly. God is triune through the what? This divine revelation. The Word of God, from page one to the last. And do you see this, brothers? Do you see that the Holy Trinity is more than a benediction? Am I right? More than even these things that systematic theology would teach us. But to see the divine Trinity through the lens of God's eternal economy. My. His being is triune, Father, Son, and Spirit. And there's too much to talk about. The Father, the Son, the Spirit, their relationship. The Father is in the Son. The Son became the Spirit. The Son is the Father. The Son is the Spirit. The Father sends the Son. The Son sends the Spirit. The Father as the source. The Son as the course. The Spirit as the flow. The Father as the planner. The Son as the accomplisher. And the Spirit as the executor. All these things, simple words, but deep in its revelation. I tell you, you want to be an elder? You need to know this. You say, Trinity. Why do I need to know the Trinity to be an elder? No, you need to. If you don't, you miss the point. You miss the vision of the Lord's recovery. This is the Lord's recovery. The Lord's recovery has gone to this point in our age. At our times, in our times. In those days, we were fortunate to be there. We got into these things. We have to study these things. All right. We have not done this for even for some time now. I actually think many saints today don't know these things. We even need training after training to help the saints to know them. And don't think they cannot know them. It just, we have never, not spoken this to them because they're not big deal to us. We just say something in a peripheral way, in a general way, in an outward way, in a superficial way, and think that's the way to take care of the church. See, why God came into man and made himself one with man, his incarnation. Do you know incarnation, brothers? If you don't, you're not controlled by a certain vision. Incarnation should control us. I mean the understanding of the intrinsic significance of incarnation. What does that mean? That's the Lord's recovery. That's the Lord's recovery. The intrinsic significance of God's incarnation. D, why God lived on this earth for 33 and a half years as a man? Why? That human living is phenomenal. What does that mean? What did that living do? That's part of the Lord's recovery. The human living of the Lord. And there's so many messages on this. And then E, Christ's crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, including their meaning. Do you know Christ's crucifixion, brothers, my brothers? Who died there? Who was crucified there? Name me the items. And every one is important. And explain to me what was crucified there. Sin? Sins? Satan? All his evil spirits and power? The world? The flesh? The old man, I, all the ordinances contained in the law, the entire old creation. Now, these are not just summer school of truth stuff. You know what I'm saying? How much do you know? Now, a junior higher will answer in one way. And you answer just like a junior high. Then you're an elder. Brothers, something is amiss there. But if you have never studied them, you would not know. You would not know. How about resurrection? My goodness, the resurrection of Christ. A huge, huge subject. You need to know them to be a leading brother. So you can teach them at the right time. It's the Lord's recovery. To recover the resurrection of Christ in its full intrinsic meaning. Ascension. Ascension. So, but here he says, including their meaning, accomplishment, and application to us. So not just to know them objectively, these things, but to apply them in our experience. Have you done that? Or how much have you done that? You see, without this, there's no vision to control you. Nothing controls you. Christ, F, Christ descending as a life-giving spirit. Now, this is now, if there's a big one, this is it. One short sentence. He's coming as the life-giving spirit. I've been really thinking about this since the Exodus training. Again, because of my message. The Lord ascended on the resurrection day, the first day of the week, the day after Sabbath. And after he presented himself as a first fruit to the Father for his enjoyment, secretly, that's a secret ascension, he came back that night, that very night, to breathe himself as the holy breath into the disciples. That is the what? Feast of the first fruit. That is the disciples' enjoyment of Christ essentially as the essential spirit that night. But it was 50 days later, am I right? At Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured down economically. And this time is no longer just the first fruit, this time is the harvest. And this time it is what? It is not just Christ after his secret ascension, but 10 days after Christ's public ascension to the heavens. By these two feasts, these two coming of the Spirit, one fulfilling his own promise of the coming of the Spirit of reality, the other fulfilling the Father's promise of the coming of the Spirit from on high, the power from on high. These two coming of the Spirit. To God's chosen people, resulted in the church. So in Corinthians, it say what? We were what? Baptized in one body, in the Spirit, into one body. You have to study all of these things. That's how the body of Christ came into being. And if Christ never became the Spirit, how could this have happened? And today, all these things about the Spirit, you know, the Trinity, tritheism, right? You know, believing the Father, Son, and Spirit are three gods. And modalism on the other extreme, which is really not what we preach. We're just maligned or slandered to preach that. Our understanding of the Spirit is the most balanced. And today, this Christ, who has become this life-giving, all-inclusive compound, am I right? Sevenfold Spirit, was crucial in his economy to obtain the body. Brothers, do you see this? Do you know this? Are you even interested in this? Are you interested in this matter? Or you have no interest? G, let's go on. What the church is, including the assembly of God's called out ones, the body of Christ, the new man, the kingdom of God, the house of God, the bride of Christ, a warrior, a lampstand, and the testimony of Jesus. All about the church in so many aspects. Do you know each aspect? How much can you say about each aspect? And how are they controlling you in your service. H, the universal and local aspects of the church. I agree. It seems for a long time we have not helped the saints to know these things, these basic things. It used to be every day we're into these things. Today, I think if you ask some saints, what is the ground of the church? They said, what ground of the church? What are you talking about? And they have been here for 3 years, 5 years, never been told. In those early days, I tell you, the ground of the church is like our lifeblood, our life pulse. We would give our life to stand on this ground. Today, what ground? This is a wonderful place. I like it here. It's enjoyable. Ground? What ground? What church? Brothers, it depends on the leadership. We may need some special meetings in your locality. New believers meeting to help the saints in half a year to know the church. Several weeks just to know the ground. There's a book called The Genuine Ground of Oneness. Have you read that? There's another book I like to really, not the beliefs and practices of the local church, a newer version of that. A brief introduction, a brief presentation. This is something I really want to recommend to you this morning. A brief presentation of the Lord's recovery, I think. I think so. Take a look at that. Take a look at that. There's another book that came to my mind. You remember 1993? Brother, there were how many? 43 speakers? 43 speakers in Southern California spoke along with Brother Lee on these things. You go to there. It'll help you. Yeah? I, the various functions and services in the church. This is the practical functions and services in the church. You need to have a proper vision. Let me tell you something here. You know, have you read those messages on the resumption, Brother Nee's resumption, you know, messages? And at that period of time, Brother Nee's deep burden as far as the function and these practical aspects of the church life is concerned, was the recovery of the function of every member in the body. A deep burden. In fact, David, that burden, it was during the time of the revival, you know, was strongly spoken in Hong Kong. Hong Kong. This is 1950, before he returned back to China, never to come out again. And that kind of speaking was followed up by Brother Lee's coming in to help to make certain arrangements in the church in Hong Kong. You know, the setting up of districts, and eventually those districts were called homes, you know, in Chinese. In Taiwan, we call them homes. Actually, they were districts. Jia, you know. Actually, they were halls or districts. And in a very short time, the church in Hong Kong grew from about 200 people to 2,000 people. We were the late beneficiary of that flow. We were. Brothers, if you don't see these things, you will say, all saints functioning, so what? What's the big deal? All saints function. But when you see this, like Brother Nee and Brother Lee, they would not let this go. All saints function. Oh, come on. This is Sunday. I work hard, 80-hour week. Sunday is the time for me to come and sit there like this and listen to the man who should be doing his job today, the pastor. I'm here just to give what I work and tithe and whatever and listen to this soothing sermon. And this is fair. He does his job, I do mine. If he speak, no one listen. It's incomplete. I came to supply the ears. The audience. This is a wonderful church. I like it. And you are here talking about everyone function. You need to have morning revival. Oh, you need to prepare a prophecy. You have to speak two minutes. What kind of church is that? I don't like this church. I like to sit and enjoy life. Only you crazy people require your members to do these crazy things. Brothers, what vision do you have? I am afraid if you don't have this vision, your church will be just like that. You'll be getting closer and closer to Christianity. Churches have become like this already. In fact, in certain places, they are going back to one man preaching. One man speaking. Supposedly in the Lord's recovery. That's the easy way. That's the traditional way. Nothing controlling, so we will just go backwards. I am very concerned about the Lord's recovery. Inadvertently, due to the blurring of this vision and the lack of exercise, slowly drift to become a good part of Christendom. Not the bad part. The good part, but nevertheless, not the Lord's recovery. J, the oneness, nature, position, life, reality, essence, and unique ground of the church. Do you know these things? Can you speak on these things? What is the reality of the church? What? Let me ask you this, just a test right now. What is the reality of the body of Christ? Tell me. I want version 9.0. What is the reality of the body of Christ? Well, let me ask you another question. What is the reality of resurrection? Answer that question first. That's right. So he's been through the training. The reality of resurrection, or the essence of resurrection, is none other than the Spirit himself. But not the Spirit in the Old Testament, unprocessed. But the Spirit in the New Testament. No Spirit, no resurrection. Resurrection, in the end, is just the Spirit. So my other question now, you have time to think. What is the reality of the body of Christ? No. Of course, all these have something to do with it. Well, what's his answer? Okay. He said, God, man, corporate living. Well, that's good. It is the what? It is the blended living of the God-man. So what does that mean? That means today, if you and me and you, we all live the God-man life, you know, the genuine God-man life, which requires the cross and the Spirit. to live that life, the genuine God-man living. But not just separately, I live the God-man life, you live the God-man. But these God-men would be blended together, harmonized, built up, framed, whatever you call it, into a corporate entity. That living, not just those men, that corporate living of these God men in a blended fashion is the reality of the body of Christ. How about that for version 9.0? But if you don't see this, or your version is 2.0 or 3.0, you will lead your church according to the 2.0 or 3.0 understanding. It's not bad. I'm not saying it's bad, but that's what you are, where you are. And I will tell you, it is not easy, even with Brother Lee himself, to try to upgrade our version. Once upon a time, he said, I am playing piano to the cows. Do you remember that? We listen, And move our tail a little bit, Oh, I better stop. It's already time. Okay. I'm sorry, brothers, if I speak in a sometimes a bit offensive way. Like I despise you or something. No, the Lord knows I don't. I really don't. I don't mean that in that way. Two, the second aspect include all the experiences of Christ from the Christian life from regeneration to glorification, the practical Christian life. Do we know, have this vision? Number one, regeneration, clearance of the past, consecration, discerning the spirit from the soul, the anointing, the law of life, the sense of life, the fellowship of life, dispositional sanctification, transformation, confirmation, glorification, all things included in God's full salvation, especially the organic aspect. The elders must get into all these things and know them thoroughly so they can hold what? The mystery of the faith. These are all part of that faith that we need to hold on to and be governed by them. Four, each of these points is a mystery, and together they are the mystery of the faith. Five, the elders must know these items just as all people must know basic mathematics in order to carry out crucial tasks in their daily lives. We don't mean all the saints have to become theologians. No, that's not what we're talking about. But they must have the basic understanding of these things. The elders need to be able to teach the content of the vision. I really don't think I need to get into this. So we need to know them, these items of the truth, these items of the faith, and we need to know how to teach them to others, individually and corporately. Our real function of the elders is to teach the saints, and that is our way of shepherding them. All right. No wonder there's the word. Elders to labor in the word. Some of us really should give more time to labor on God's word a little bit more carefully and deeply for the sake of the church. Okay, finally, the elders need to be governed by the vision of the Lord's recovery. Can we read together? A, we have... One.
The Lord's recovery is absolutely different. It is something from deep in the heart of God and revealed in His Word.
Two.
If we see the vision of God's heart's desire, we will never leave the Lord's recovery.
Three.
If we do not see the vision, we will stay in the local churches as long as we feel that the meetings and the saints are good, but we may leave as soon as things are coming from God.
B. A clear vision will safeguard us. One, our vision, which is the mystery of the faith, comprises Christ as the mystery of God and the church as the mystery of Christ. This vision should continually govern us and be our cause. Two, the elders need to know all the contents of the mystery of the faith, how to teach in order to care for the saints in the Lord's recovery, and how to teach in order to convict the opposed. Lastly, three, therefore, we need a thorough review of the vision of the Lord's recovery. For this, we need to study the Bible concerning the mystery of the faith, and we need to receive help from the ministry books. I think it's time to stop, right? To have the break.